Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No.
Neither did I. I was just asking.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Did we lock you in a dumpster one time?
I got out.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
That's somebody's daughter up there.
I was just going to say that.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Dynamite drop in money. And broadcast school has really paid off.
The Fan. I'm
just a bachelor. All right. Loaded second hour. Dirt and Sprague back with you on this happy, happy hump day. If you missed the first hour, 1080thefan.com, Les Schwab Tires podcast. Kyler Murray going number one. We got some NFL schedule games that have been leaked. Schedule comes out at 5 today.
I don't even want to know what the ratings are going to be for that. Because I guarantee you, they're doing
probably
a whole,
higher than the NBA playoffs.
A whole thing on ESPN2 for like an hour.
Yeah. We got stat or story as well. I wanted these two stats. It kind of surprised me a little bit, okay, but not really.
Okay.
Damian Lillard is 4 for 4 on threes that are 30 feet or more away.
Yeah, it felt like I thought one of those ones early he missed because he was a little off to start the game. Everybody was off to start the game.
He airballed one.
He airballed one. And he had one that was like a bad miss off the back of the backboard kind of miss.
Yeah.
I would have thought one of those was that long, but apparently not.
He has as many threes in the series as Oklahoma City.
I love that stat.
9-9.
I think Damon CJ almost in last night's game almost topped what OKC has done the entire series. I think they made 8 combined, and OKC has, what, 10 in 2 games?
No, it's 9-9.
Oh, yep.
9 threes.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Kind of. Not really.
Dame has 9 threes.
Yes.
Oklahoma City has 9 threes as a team.
Oh, okay. I thought they made 5 last night.
Yeah. Didn't they have 4 the previous?
No, they had 5 in game 1-2.
So you need to talk to Bleacher Report. They tweeted that crap out.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Mm. And then my stat was, though, that Dame and CJ combined for 7 themselves last night. So not 9. So Dame and CJ have combined for 7 in last night's game. And OKC's only made 10 the whole series.
Who's on first? And then this one is not shocking, but it was kind of eye-opening. I think it sums it up as well as any. CJ and Dame scored and assisted on 88 of their 114 points yesterday.
That's unbelievable.
I did the math.
When Portland had 69, nice. Dame and CJ had combined for 43 of them. Because I think that was at the time, like kind of midway through the third quarter when they were starting to build a lead a little bit and they were both knocking down shots. And I went and looked at the box score. They had combined for 43 of the 69.
And one final thing, you had mentioned that even if OKC can get it going, they have to come back to Portland and like stopping Dame and CJ, you're going to need them to be cold versus stopping them because you can't stop them.
Yeah.
And Ray Allen said this morning on Get Up. They played that highlight of him going at Felton at the end of the third.
That was so awesome.
God, it was great. And he hit that step back. And Ray was like, there's nothing you can do.
No.
And that's why the old cliche in the NBA is great offense will always be great defense, right? You only have so many examples of great defense trumping great offense. And Damian Lillard is great offense right now. There's nothing they can do. Westbrook can't stop him. He can't guard him. Ray Felton sure as hell can't guard him.
No.
You want to try to put Paul George on him? Great. He's not healthy, and that hasn't seemed to work either because they did that in game one.
Let him chase him around the whole game.
And that's the part that I think would leave Blazer fan feeling a little better is even if 3 and 4 don't go your way, and I think most of us that are reasonable humans are expecting Oklahoma City to get it going, and if there's not, then great. We're happy. But Damian Lillard is playing at a level that is it's truly hard to stop, and you can say, well, double Dame. Great. Now CJ's open. He's hot. Okay, great. Seth Curry has played really well first 2 games.
He has. And listeners said earlier, like, it felt like he only made, I think, 3 shots last night, Curry. It felt like he had 20 points because the timing of his threes were just, they were perfect last
night. That's a very astute observation. It felt, I agree completely. It did feel that way. So we'll see what happens in game 3. It's Friday. Game four is on Sunday, so we'll react to both games on Monday. That's going to be great.
Monday's show's going to be fun. Friday's going to be awesome. One other note I did see, I saw this down on Dame's defense when guarding Russ so far. In game one, Russ was 4 of 8 with 2 turnovers when Dame was guarding him. Last night when Dame was on him, he was 3 of 13 with 4 turnovers, and Dame blocked him twice.
Yeah, not good.
That's not good.
Kyler Murray is going to go number one. We'll talk about that coming up here in 8 to 10 minutes. I have a surprise for you.
Okay, what do you got?
Now, you know how sometimes in sports media, there are, I mean, local guys, national guys, they give opinions, and you and I will from time to time hear these, and we'll just go, what a dumb opinion. I think I have one for you.
Okay.
I want you to hang with me here for a second.
Okay, I'm hanging on.
What I love a lot about the NBA playoffs, and in large part with the NFL, because sure, you get some wild card upsets, but mainly it's the best teams in the NFL that end up being in that dance. What I love is I like watching the best, right? I can watch the best and go, I feel like I know that this is the best. The record indicates that.
Sure.
Golden State, right? The Houston Rockets of the world, the New England Patriots of the world. I like that. This is the NCAA tournament as well. I want Duke in my Final Four.
Sure you do, yeah.
I don't want Loyola Chicago in my Final Four, right?
You want the Blue Bloods.
Yeah, at some point, the upset thing is, I think it hurts you. Yesterday, we had one of the bigger upsets in sports history in Columbus defeating Tampa Bay in round one with a sweep.
That they did.
Hockey fan will never agree with this. Is there any element of you that wonders, is it bad for the sport that you can have these kinds of upsets?
No. Because that one, it's what makes the Stanley Cup playoffs the Stanley Cup playoffs, is that you don't know who's going to win. You can have a team with a dominant regular season that loses in the first round. That doesn't happen really in any other sport.
Okay, now hold on.
But here's the reason why I'll say that it's not a bad thing. I agree with your point if...
I'm happy for Columbus, by the way.
Sure, they had never won a playoff series before. If said team would have brought in more viewers, right? So if Duke is playing in the national championship game, the ratings are going to be higher for college basketball.
Right.
It is a better product, one, but also more people. There's more interest. There's more conversation. More people talking about it. That doesn't exist with any NHL team. There's no NHL team that stands out above other NHL teams in terms of a national conversation. Maybe Ovechkin a little bit. Maybe Crosby. So individual players. But Tampa, nobody cares about Tampa.
Okay.
How many people out there didn't even know what Tampa did this year?
Well, I'm one of them. I don't watch hockey, right? I don't follow hockey.
You have no clue they were that dominant in the regular season.
No, but I'm saying I'm talking from a building of the sport standpoint here, the ratings thing. Let's go to 07.
Okay.
This is like the New England Patriots losing 45-0 in the wild card game.
In the wild card round, yeah.
I would have been pissed if I didn't get to see New England go for the perfect season and get to the point of the Super Bowl.
No, see, that's but this,
because here's the other thing. Hold on, hang with me here.
Okay,
this is my dumb opinion thing on a sport I don't watch.
Okay,
so hockey, bro, you can get mad at me, but I'm just going to share this. I also believe that there is an element of sports fans, and if you're a true hockey fan, you always watch. If you're bringing people in, hey, come watch our sport. Let's grow this game. There is a little bit of like, hey, there's a payoff there of like, you watched Tampa all year and you said, that's the best team. I haven't seen a team play like this and score this many points. This is unbelievable. I love watching them play.
Historically, one of the best teams we've ever seen in the NHL regular season.
I like the payoff. I like being rewarded for watching and investing time and feeling and knowing that they are the best, and then you eliminate them in round one. Again, happy for Columbus.
Sure. But here's my point. Here's the larger point, though, okay? One, there's a cap on how many people care about hockey.
That's
just the reality. No matter who's playing, who's in the final, and I understand, as a hockey guy, I get it. It's not everybody's cup of tea. It's just, you either like it or you don't. Maybe you tune in for a couple of playoff games here and there. Maybe you're going to watch the Stanley Cup final. Maybe you don't give a rat's ass and you're never going to watch it ever, no matter the setting. I understand that. I would rather have a sport that has a limited reach like hockey that is a completely wide open tournament.
It's just a cluster.
Imagine, I mean, just use the NBA as an example of this, okay? Yep. What are Portland's chances of winning the NBA championship?
Well, they're not amazing.
Okay.
But if we're using the NBA, I would say it'd be like Golden State losing to the Pistons.
Sure. And this is what I'm saying, though. It's like that you have this happen. So it wouldn't be a situation where you go in as a 7 seed or an 8 seed against Golden State in the first round and think, well, great participation trophy. We're going to lose in five games at best, and then our season's over. You could go in and think, man, if we win game one and we get some momentum on our side, we legitimately have a chance to win this series. And we've seen eight seeds. The Kings did it a couple of years back. Not only did they win the Stanley Cup as an eight seed,
Yeah.
They were down 3-0 in the first round.
I remember that.
They were down 3-0 in the opening round to the number one seed in the West. They won four straight to win that series, and then they went on to win the Stanley Cup final. Like, that is the beauty of the playoffs, is that you go in with nobody knows what the hell is going to happen. And you just, you don't, like, baseball has a hint of it, but even the last couple of years, L.A. and Houston were the two best teams.
Usually you
Boston
can identify,
LA,
right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
College football has none of this. It's the same five teams every year.
Yeah.
The NFL has a bit of it. We like their parity, but then again, it's been New England and Pittsburgh almost every year out of the AFC for like 30 years, right? Like, it is truly the only sport where you go, ah, let's see what happens, because I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Okay.
That's the beauty of it.
Dumbest opinion I've ever had, or...
No, I get what you're trying to say.
You see where I'm coming from, though?
I think if hockey had a team like that, I would agree with what you were saying. If hockey had... Like, who's the Duke of hockey?
Well, it's got to be like a Chicago or Boston, right? Like a legendary, iconic
maybe
team.
Maybe the Blackhawks, maybe?
It's got to be an iconic franchise.
Sure.
Well, and you might say the Penguins because of Crosby, Malkin. They might have the most widely known
cachet,
stars.
The big names,
By the way, they got swept out of the first round, too, and I loved every second of it. See you later, Pittsburgh.
Go Islanders.
I love
Was that,
that
an upset?
Yes.
Yes.
Like a big upset?
Or? Not
actually,
big,
no.
But...
The Islanders were the higher seed
But
in
it's
that
Crosby.
Game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the coach of the Islanders was the coach of Washington.
Yeah, Barry Trotz.
Barry Trotz, the guy who won the Stanley Cup last year.
He walked?
He left in the offseason. He won the cup and left. Trotz, now he's with the Islanders.
Trotz is an interesting dude.
Why'd he leave?
I think he was exhausted from everything it took to get him to the cup there in Washington.
Well, I feel like there was some contractual stuff, too.
There
like
was some
they
other
paying
stuff.
Him what
say,
he
now
to
he's
paid.
Back in the playoffs, and he's just won a series. He's getting exhausted to get him walked.
Yeah, so people are making jokes like he owns Pittsburgh because they finally slayed the Pittsburgh Dragon last year and beat him, and then he just knocked him out in the first round with a sweep.
What and I believe if Washington wins, they get him in the next round.
That would be fun.
Wouldn't it be funny if this Trotz character just had the Capitals – like playbook and information from last year, and he just opened and said, guys, let's just read this. Worked.
Are we doing a John Gruden situation here where they just don't change anything? They just come in the next year with the same playbook from the year before?
Absolutely.
A little bit of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and somebody said casual fan can't appreciate Sports Armageddon outside March Madness. And I agree with that.
I guess
saying,
that's where I'm coming from is I respect and I will tune into some playoff hockey games, so I'm not trying to crap on the sport.
Right.
I was thinking about this on my drive in because I wanted to bring this up because I know you cared about this story.
This is a huge, if this happened in any other sport, it would be a huge
deal. I agree with you there, but is there I want as a fan, because that's a long season. I want the payoff. I want to be rewarded watching the best of the best versus it's absolute madness and chaos.
And that just gets back to my point. I think you need it to be like a Yankees kind of team. You know, like you need a team that, and I would agree with the point, like if they got to the Stanley Cup final, that the ratings would be 20% higher, like a Tiger Woods effect, because they're playing. And there's a small number of teams out there that have that pull, and none of them are in the NHL.
Bet you didn't see hockey coming at 1 o'clock, did you?
I did not see that coming. That felt good.
Listeners are probably like, whoa, that was a surprise, huh?
That was the surprise, man. The Stanley Cup playoffs have been fantastic so far. If you've not been following, you should.
I knew the Islanders beat the Pens, and I knew Tampa lost. Other than that, and Joe told me that his hockey team, who I don't know.
San Jose, he's a Sharks fan.
That's
down.
Right, the Golden Nuggets.
The Golden Nuggets.
Golden Knights.
Golden Knights.
Vegas has them
Vegas.
Golden Nuggets on the ropes.
Are up 3-1 now in the first round on San Jose.
Go Golden Knights.
The Golden Knights, baby.
Yeah, baby. All right, Kyler Murray's going number one, according to this analyst. What are the Cardinals waiting for then? That's next on The Fan. That you're gone, hit us. Super hard on Thanksgiving and Christmas. All right, 119 on The Fan. We got some NFL games that were released. We know everybody geeks out on the NFL schedule.
You want to talk some more Stanley Cup playoffs? Should we break down the games tonight? Who's your hot goaltender right now? How about Ovechkin knocking a dude out the other night? You saw that.
That was badass.
He knocked him out cold.
Yeah, well, poor 19-year-old kid. He didn't play.
Get out of here with this poor 19-year-old kid. He made the decision to fight him. It wasn't like Ovechkin blindsided him. Yeah. They dropped sticks and said, let's go.
Cross-checking him constantly, and Ovechkin was like, bring it.
To your question, I would say Orvidsky.
Your big Orvisky guy?
Yeah, he's my favorite goaltender in the playoffs right now.
Now we did say, P1 Jesse said, last year, didn't you call them the Wild Knights?
Oh, my Wild Knights, yeah.
You got to get back to your Wild Knights.
No, they're the Golden Nuggets this year.
Okay, Golden Nuggets.
They're paying homage to the old Vegas.
There you go. I'm going to win some money.
Let's go. Hey, the NFL draft is about a week away.
That it is, Bob.
And we got to do our, our usual 10 top 10 picks, 10 writers from every city. I've changed the format, I think, this year a little bit.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be better. And I'll tell you what that is. And
I think it's been great in years past.
I know, but I'm going to break it up into two segments.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to do five picks per. And I'm going to eliminate guys. So whoever takes number one, that player is no longer available.
Okay.
And then that will allow five guys to kind of dive in a little longer than just giving us a name and going, that's Bob from San Francisco. Thanks, Bob.
You're amazing at giving yourself more work. You know that?
Yeah.
You're really good at that. Any other segments you want to come up with that are just more work for you? I mean, I'm all for it, buddy, but jeez.
My favorite's when I'm scrambling for the ticker.
Yeah.
And you can hear me scrambling, and I'm kind of bitching and moaning about it. And your reaction is always just, yeah.
I mean, what are we going to do? You know? Right. I better figure this out. It's coming up in like an hour.
Did you see this funny cat video? No, I didn't see that in this moment. I'm sorry.
Should we talk Game of Thrones theories right now? Oh, no, you got to book a guest. All right, hold on.
Okay, the NFL draft is rapidly approaching, and the Arizona Cardinals on the clock. Steve Keim, we played on a report earlier on the prospect of trading trading the number one overall pick, not Josh Rosen. Mm-hmm. However, there is one individual who does know in his mind where Arizona is going. Now, this morning he was on ESPN.
Tell me it's the man, the myth, and the legend.
You're damn right it is. And Mel Kiper was asked this morning on ESPN playing a fill in the sentence, the Cardinals will take Kyler Murray type deal.
Okay.
And this is what Kiper had to say about the chances of the Cardinals taking Kyler Murray number one.
5%.
Not taking him. Sorry.
I just don't see it them going any other direction. I understand what they're doing. They're trying to say, hey, this is not an easy decision. We are not sure what we're doing. They're eventually going to try to trade Josh Rosen. You act like this is just a discarded player that we knew from the get-go was going to be Kyler Murray. You want to portray that publicly that, hey, this is a tough call. Rosen's a great young quarterback. You want him, you better give us a first-round pick. And that's what they're trying to portray right now.
So obviously that was not picking.
So he's saying there's a 95% chance they take.
This is a done deal.
Kyler Murray.
He says it's a done deal. They are going to try to trade Josh Rosen.
Man.
And they are going to take Kyler Murray.
I should have thought of this before the show, but I forgot. Did you remember Aaron Taylor? Not remember, but he still works in the media. He's a big ball guy. Used to play football. I can't remember what network he works for. He's like a Big Ten or SEC network kind of guy.
Nope.
Or CBS network maybe, but he was on.
He called a beef game like Aaron 2 or 3 years
right?
ago, like Hawaii, Oregon State or something.
I can't remember who he played for, but he works for CBS.
Yeah.
And he was doing a show with like Houston Nutt and a couple other guys last night. And they were talking about Kyler Murray and what happens if the Cardinals don't take him number one. You know what his hot take was? If he doesn't go number one, he's going to fall all the way out of the first round. Nobody else wants him.
And he believed that?
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. So the Cardinals wouldn't even want to trade up late in the first round maybe and get him?
You think the Giants take Dwayne Haskins over right. Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray just sitting there and nobody wants him. This is all the Giants smokescreen for months. He's actually terrible.
He's also convinced, by the way, that the Giants are taking a quarterback.
At number five or six, whatever
six,
it is.
Yeah.
One, they should. So that's good news. Two, this Murray stuff has been talked about nonstop, and I'm glad we're finally going to have an answer on it in a week or a week and a day. I'm going to be really curious to see, is the plan to trade Rosen on draft night? Is the plan to trade Rosen before the draft? Do you bring both of them into camp? What if you don't get an overwhelming offer for Josh Rosen? Like, there's a chance this backfires.
How can it backfire?
Because what if you don't get what you want out of Josh Rosen?
I think you keep him.
You wait. You keep both quarterbacks on the same roster.
You're paying him nothing.
I know, but how is that going to work dynamic-wise?
Well, you play
and
Murray.
And you wasted a top 10 pick on a guy you're not going to play.
Well, if you're drafting Kyler, you have punted on the notion that it was a failure. You're accepting that your lot in life was, we made a bad decision here, right?
Which I think is way too early, and I think it's a giant mistake to try and claim that after 1 year.
Look, I lean a little more where you're coming from, but I'm saying from the Cardinals standpoint, you can't care about the national perspective of what a mistake they made. If you love the kid and you think he's going to flourish with Kingsbury and give you the best chance to win, you have to punt on what you did last year and you have to accept that you were wrong. There's nothing wrong with doing that. So what? People talk about you for a few weeks. It goes away, and then they'll talk about you again in the season if Murray is completely in over his head. But if you really like this kid, you have to take him. Now, I'm actually one that doesn't think this is a real big fail situation for them. You can either get a decent package for Rosen draft day or just prior to the draft and make that move, or you draft Murray and you have them both. And you know what? You got two guys on the roster that are dirt cheap, and I think you put more pressure on teams because they'll lose their quarterback, and there might be a team that has a quarterback that they're borderline on anyway and go, we'll give you a first and two-thirds, or a first, a third, and a fourth. Give us Josh Rosen. Great. That's what we want, and we're out.
The only argument to that is if you do keep them both, the longer Josh Rosen goes and doesn't play and his trade value diminishes.
I completely disagree
with you. So if he's just sitting on the bench, you don't have any film on him. You think the offers will get better for Rosen?
You do have film on him. He played last year.
I know.
And you know what his measurements are. You evaluated him. Well, they wasn't great.
Well, especially if Murray struggles at any point and you don't put him in, if you don't use him.
No, you don't. You don't. If you're going to go this route, you do not put him in, because then you don't want an injured Josh Rosen who didn't look good last year. I don't think value goes down at all if he doesn't play.
I think if you're going to go this route, you can't hold on to both of them. I see what you're saying, but I'd end up trading him for a second round pick. I think the dynamic of both those guys in the same room. For what if Swagger mentioned Kyler Murray struggles? Is he always looking over his shoulder? How long does this plan play out? That to me seems like an organization that has no clue what they're doing. Like, if Kyler Murray's your dude, take him, commit to him, stick with him, and let's move forward with this plan. Now, I disagree that that's the right thing to do for a number of different reasons. First and foremost, it feels like so much of this is Kingsbury. And I continue to go back to the fact that that guy was fired in college.
Yeah, he had a very sub-500 record.
He didn't get hired out of college like a lot of these coaches do. He wasn't like, oh, God, we got to go get that guy. He was fired at Texas Tech. There's a reason he was available to become the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. It's because he lost his job and he couldn't beat anybody at Texas Tech. So, look, maybe I end up eating crow on this and he ends up being a good coach. A lot of people criticize Sean McVay when he was hired. Maybe he's that next guy. But it feels like you've hired a guy that didn't have a lot of attention outside of being an offensive coordinator at USC. And now you're basing your number one pick in the most important position on your roster off of what this fired guy wants to do.
And because he played against him last year in college.
A guy who really struggled, by the way, with identifying quarterback talent in college with the Baker Mayfield stuff. He had his issues in college with quarterbacks, and we try and give him credit for it. He doesn't deserve it. The other two main reasons why I don't like this are, I don't like the message that it sends to give up on a guy after 1 year, because that's completely unfair to Josh Rosen, and he's gone about this the right way, and I think maybe this ends up being a positive for him. But what is Kyler Murray going to have to work with? So you have David Johnson, who's a good running back. Everybody acknowledges that. You can catch the ball. He can run the ball. He had 900 yards, I think, rushing last year. Stayed relatively healthy, so that's nice. Larry Fitzgerald's eventually going to retire, maybe after one more year. So he'll have that to work with. Do you know who Pro Football Focus ranked as the worst, like by far, the worst offensive line in the NFL last year?
I'm going to gamble and say Arizona here, Bob.
They played 11 different guys on the offensive line. Only one guy topped 600 snaps. They were atrocious up front, which, again, is a big reason why Josh Rosen was bad. So you're kind of throwing Kyler Murray to the wolves with not much to work with. Like, I think the comparison people are making is Baker Mayfield. Well, he had success. I guess Kyler Murray could, too. And sure, they're similar size. Sure, they come from the same offense. Do you know who had ranked by Pro Football Focus one of the top offensive lines in the NFL last year?
I'm going to guess Cleveland here, Bob.
The Cleveland Browns, and who had Landry to throw to, and like three different running backs to hand the ball off to. The Browns have their issues, and most of it was coaching. I get that, but he had a lot of weapons and a lot to work with, and it's a main reason why he was successful as a rookie in my mind. You're throwing him to a terrible offensive line with a David Johnson only, so defenses will load up and stop the
run.
You got
Larry Fitz there.
Sure, but at this point, Larry Fitz is still good. I get that. He's not a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL anymore.
I think the thinking would be then, if you're taking Murray, it's because of how mobile he is, where your offensive line needs sure. work. But
that sounds like a sound strategy. Let's make this 5'9" guy run around away from big time NFL defensive players. What could go wrong, Bob?
Excuse me, 5'10" and an eighth. Gosh, don't put him down at that 5'9" level.
I'm rooting for Kyler Murray. I want to see him be a good NFL quarterback.
I don't care.
Well, I do. I like when small quarterbacks succeed. That's a small guy. I take pride in that.
Well,
I could have done it.
It'd be funny if he had one good play in the NFL and you put like your highlights.
I should.
Like next to each other, like
side by side videos. Me plays, and Kyler.
And then there's Dirt throwing a touchdown pass.
You need
Cleveland.
A little more touch on that fade ball, Kyler. Just like this.
I usually find ways to root or have some kind of feelings on guys. I don't think I have one with him.
Really?
I see where you're coming from on the short thing because it can be annoying that if Paxton Lynch is 6'7", he's amazing.
Right,
if Kyler Murray's 5'9", he's not going to be good.
He has to go through a whole different set of criticisms.
That's a Neanderthal way of thinking in the NFL, in my opinion.
Me want big quarterback.
Yeah, I don't really care if he's good or not.
Okay.
In fact, I almost wonder if I go the other way because
you're gonna root against him now?
The Kingsbury thing is just so preposterous.
They are basing this all off of what Kingsbury wants to do.
No, they're basing it all. Well, yeah, but they're also basing the entire thing on Sean McVay.
Now, let me ask you this. I know we're against it. Sorry, but the Aaron Taylor thing's ridiculous. Like he wouldn't fall out of the first round. How much concern would you have that
he wouldn't fall out of top 10?
No, but how much concern would you have? That, like, there doesn't seem to be a lot of heat from other teams around him.
I disagree.
You disagree with that?
I think because Arizona's so in on him, everybody knows they're picking him.
People have cooled off.
Yeah, people are just like, we know how we feel about him, and if he's there, great. If he's not, we're not shocked. We're ready for Arizona to draft him.
That could be true.
Cardinal fan has got to be going through a weird feeling on this because he might be amazing. He might be the next Russell Wilson. You have so many problems with your team, and you have the number one pick, and you went quarterback when you have a quarterback.
By the way, giving up on after 1 year, a good point that they gave up on their head coach after 1 year.
They
gave him 1 year, and they fired him.
They
maybe this is what they do.
They hired a defensive-minded guy knowing they were drafting a quarterback. It's not like this organization has been incredibly run their entire time. They had like a five-year run with Bruce Arians. Other than that, they've been a joke. So we'll see. Mel Kiper says that he says 95% chance the Cardinals draft Kyler Murray. Some NFL games leaked out from the upcoming schedule. It is schedule release day. Are you an NFL schedule nerd? 55305. We'll talk about that next.
Girl, but I don't.
Hey, we got Statter's story coming up 2:15. We got to get into the NBA playoffs as well. A couple of games tonight. How about Toronto with a blowout? Denver erasing a 19-point deficit. Back into game two for Portland as they win again last night over OKC. Lead the series 2-0. Game three coming up on Friday. And a college football note for you.
I've also got a terrifying story from NPR.
Oh, this is NPR.
NPR.
Terrifying, huh? That bad?
It's not great.
It's not the delicious dish.
Is it that they're releasing the Bob Kraft video?
No.
It looks like that's not going to happen right away.
The judge just temporarily blocked it.
Yeah, so they went, Kraft's attorneys went to file a motion to keep that from happening, and so a judge wants to have a hearing to figure out what's going on here.
Sounds like a good use of taxpayer money.
It's worse than seeing 79-year-old peen.
That bad, huh?
It's a scary story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll holster it. We'll get to that in the final hour of the show.
Why do all NPR and the New York Times does the daily.
Uh-huh. Their podcast.
I'm Michael Barboa.
Should we do an entire show in our NPR voice?
What did you think of the Blazers win? How did they look last night? 55305. And then Dame did this.
It's an entire NPR show. Huh? It's livening up a little bit. Hey, we know the international games for 2019. Does that do anything for you?
Four London games. Well, we'll see. I think everybody's curious to see if, Mexico City can get their field situated.
Estadio Azteca. They are hosting a game, Chiefs and Chargers.
I need
to know now.
Pretty good.
Do you guys care about this stuff? Do you care about the schedule release day?
Yeah.
Is it a big deal for you?
Why? I do is I briefly care.
Okay.
I like looking at the primetime matchups,
right,
formulating an opinion in about 90 seconds, good game, bad game, good game, bad game, go through.
Yeah.
And then I'm done with it.
I think you like to see, too, if especially for your team, if you feel like you're getting hosed by the league, if you got like a three-game road trip or they send you to London and then you got to come back and play a Thursday game or some crap like that.
Right. The only ones I pay attention to are primetime games because Sunday to Sunday, I don't care. I watch the red zone. I don't watch individual games, but when you're what are the Thursday night games? Cause I have to individually watch that game.
But do you write down? Cause do you remember them?
No, but I'm just like how interested am I in that game as of today, April, whatever the hell day it is.
But I'm saying by week four, though, you're like, oh, that's the Sunday night game. Found that out, but you didn't write that down.
You get distracted after a while.
So what I'm doing is more like I'm looking to maybe have a weekend getaway.
You want to go to San Francisco.
I want to go to San Francisco with the wife. I have an Alaska card, so you get that companion fee. It's a nice, quick getaway. And Cleveland comes to San Francisco this year. So I'm curious when that date is, because that might be a game I want to go watch.
Okay. Well, here are your international games. I mentioned Chiefs and Chargers. You have the Texans and the Jags playing at Wembley.
Yeah.
The Bengals and the Rams also playing at Wembley.
Just move the Jags to Wembley already.
Just move them
Stop
over
trying
there.
To act like you don't want them there.
Panthers and Bucks, they're playing at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Tottenham.
Okay. And then you have the Bears and the Raiders. My boy Johnny's going international.
Well, that's the other. This is
that's the only one that's probably fairly interesting.
You know, he's going to have a funny picture internationally.
He for sure will. The visor plays overseas.
Now, this is basically going to turn into me crapping on schedule release day. But again, with this question, do people care if you play in a big famous soccer stadium?
No,
I don't.
I don't watch half of those games because a couple of them start at 6:30 in the morning.
Like, you're getting me on. They're playing in Tottenham Stadium.
That's the brand new stadium. It just opened. They just finished it.
And not doing anything for me.
That's nothing for me.
The opening Sunday night game, it sounds like it's going to be New England hosting Pittsburgh.
I'm really disappointed in the NFL.
Me too.
Thank you. We're all in agreement on that.
Yeah. I said it yesterday.
You had two better options, whether you took the Chiefs or the Browns. Much more excited.
Thank you.
What are you doing?
We've seen this game before.
Roethlisberger and Tomlin with Juju out there.
Yeah,
can
whatever.
They erase the legacy that was the Bs? And
no.
It's in New England. Guess what? They're probably going to lose that game.
Yeah, because remember, I think the opening game of the year is Bears and Packers, right?
Yeah, that's
because it's the anniversary.
It's the 100th season of the NFL, so they wanted the oldest rivalry.
And that's why New England's not, because it's always the Super Bowl champ that plays on opening night. So that's why that's
happening. Think they whiffed horrifically on that. I think the Chiefs in an AFC title rematch or the Browns with all the hype would have been just a great way to finish off that first Sunday of the season.
So you get Steelers and Pats.
This one is pretty funny. Already looked at the Saints schedule. Start first four games against playoff teams. Have us at about 10-6, 11-5.
That's
the funny part about it is if you may not remember the dates or care about the when they play, but it is funny to go through and go.
Sure. Win-win-loss.
Win-win-loss-loss-loss-loss. Win, loss, win-win-win-win-win-win. Oh, we're 12-4.
I love doing this with schedule release day. It just glance. I do it with college football too. When you find out what dates you're playing and how does it stack up? At what point of the year do you play this team or that team? And then you get like the non-conference games, like who's playing the first couple
for
of weeks.
For college, it's more about the kickoff time.
Sure. What time are you starting?
It's like, 7:45, a night game down at Autzen or at Reese. Are you kidding me? Oh, we're getting screwed again.
By the way, do you see what the Chargers are doing? What they announced yesterday? This ticked a lot of people off. So they're permanently going back to the Powder Blues.
Good for them.
Why did that tick people off?
Why would that tick people off?
Because San Diego asked them to do that forever. They fought for that forever. Please go back to the Powder Blues. Like, those are the Powder Blues. Play in the Powder Blues.
I will one-up you.
And they leave San Diego, and now what do they do? 2 years later.
I will one-up you with Charger news. So the LA Chargers are having a lot of fun, and I appreciate this effort because, again, not everybody cares that much.
Mm-hmm.
They're announcing their opponents via Pop-Tarts. So they're taking their team, and I'll give you one. This was 2 hours ago. They play the Titans. Right next to a picture of Mariota is a picture of a Pop-Tart box, red, white, and berry. The next one, the Steelers, mustard on a Pop-Tart.
Let's just shut the Chargers down.
The Raiders.
Can we just close shop
there? The Raiders. Cookies and cream Pop-Tart.
This is a terrible idea.
The Vikings.
This is terrible.
Wildlicious Wildberry Pop-Tart. The Dolphins. Water Pop-Tart. The Chiefs. Red Velvet Pop-Tart.
Can we just close up shop there?
What flavor are the Jags?
What are the Jags?
Blueberry.
Oh, come on. The Jags aren't blueberry.
I think they actually got the Jags and this next team mixed up. What flavor is the Colts?
Blueberry.
Blue raspberry.
Oh.
What about the Texans, you ask?
Cherry.
Nice cherry Pop-Tart. And the grossest one that actually got the most reaction, they play Green Bay this year. And they have a picture of two Pop-Tarts with melted cheese slices on top. They also have the Broncos, the picture with the Broncos and Von Miller is a horse with a Pop-Tart in front of its mouth.
This about sums up the Chargers. That tells you, if you want to what's the deal with the Chargers?
You don't appreciate this effort?
No, I don't appreciate
Swag,
this
Swag, are you
all.
Out on this?
Look.
Melted cheese on Pop-Tarts.
That's the only funny one. That's the only funny. They should have just, you should do food items, but just like put a picture of a block of cheese up. Everybody knows who you're playing that week.
I don't know, man. A Pop-Tart with a mustard on it to announce you're playing Pittsburgh is pretty good to me. At least they took approach of like, how can we make this
Was it Heinz mustard?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Yeah, it has to be Heinz
mustard. It has to be Heinz, yeah.
So there you go.
Oh, hot take, French's.
Oh, they took a pot shot.
Yeah, they did.
Not Heinz, not the stadium.
Took a pot shot.
How about that? So the schedule comes out tonight if you want to watch. We'll formulate our opinions. We'll have all of our win-loss records for teams tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. We'll go through it. We'll poo-poo all the primetime matchups based on teams right now, which ones are good and bad. That's a fun segment the next day.
I don't know what it says about the show that I'm the only one enjoying the Pop-Tart references to their opponents.
Is it controversial to say, though, I don't like Pop-Tarts?
Well, I mean, I don't eat Pop-Tarts, but if you eat one, you don't like them?
No, I don't like Pop-Tarts.
You don't like the taste?
Yeah, just not a fan.
Have you had one?
I have. I've had a Pop-Tart before.
I've met your mom. She's a very nice, wholesome person. She probably bought you the ones without frosting, didn't she?
No, we never used to really eat Pop-Tarts.
No, she probably made him a whole three-course wholesome breakfast every morning before he left.
French toast.
I can't put my arms down.
A little bacon. I'm just not a Pop-Tart guy.
No, I guess you didn't live in a trailer park.
No.
Some people had to settle for Pop-Tarts.
That's all you had,
breakfast,
man.
On the go.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay, let's stick with football briefly because there's some college football notes that I want to get to. Sprague has a scary story, apparently, from NPR we need to get to. Back into the Blazers win. All of that still to come. Statter story as well.
Toaster strudels or Pop-Tarts? We're getting into that. You guys be careful with what you say there.
Could be that kind of day.
I don't know about this.
Back after this on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Oh, we're getting screwed again.
It's crunch time. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. We were both out at the Glorious House of Gaines today.
Let's go!
I have no idea what just happened.
Yeah, Will's in here. He's touching our mouses. It's a whole thing, man.
Was that really Jim Ross? I didn't hear it.
I don't know.
Because it was only in the headphones. I didn't have my headphones on yet. Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
I think that was me.
When did you say that?
When we were talking. Oh, I
got it.
I
got it. I got it.
Oh, we're getting screwed again.
Oh.
Oh, that's not bad. That's pretty good.
Well, I'm kind of curious what's on this. it's just a bunch of Jim Ross and Gus Johnson. I didn't know this existed, this drops area.
Okay.
Swag is very...
Are we focused? Are we back?
Sorry.
Are we back? Are we here?
I don't get to play with the drops. Swag is...
he's very protective.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay away from his territory.
Did you and Isaac used to fight? Yeah?
Yeah. There'd be mouse fights.
Stop it, Swaggard.
Stop it. Give him my mouse back. Okay, a whole bunch of stuff to get to, including apparently something about pig brains. We'll get to that in the final hour of the show. Statter story, NBA playoffs. Bada bing, bada boom. I did see this. Did you see that ESPN... According to their football power index, which I have no clue how this works, but they have their football power index, just like their basketball power index, where they give you a percentage of chance of something happening. They have released their football power index on the chances to make the college football playoff in 2019.
I did see this.
Do you dare to guess that you're going to have to really go out on a limb here, okay?
Okay.
And I want to see if you can hit all 10 of them. Can you guess to me the teams with the 10 highest chances to make the college football playoff in 2019?
Alabama.
Yes.
Clemson.
Yes.
Ohio State.
Yes.
LSU.
Wait, no, Ohio State's not in the top 10. Sorry, I got distracted.
Ohio State's not in the top 10.
Ohio State is not. They only have a 6% chance. By the way, did you see Justin Fields apparently sucks?
Yeah, he threw for like 40 yards or something.
It was terrible in their spring game.
It's a spring game, though.
I know.
Okay, so what do we have? Alabama, Clemson.
Alabama, Clemson.
I don't think it matters the rest of this group, but I will go LSU.
LSU's in there, yep.
Oklahoma.
Yep.
Texas.
Nope.
Oregon.
Yes.
Washington.
No, just outside the top 10.
Florida.
Yep, Florida's number 9.
Michigan.
Michigan is number 3. You're only missing 2.
Yeah. I'm blanking here.
One of them is pretty obvious. Georgia.
Georgia. Damn. Yeah. That's what I was.
They are number four. They have a 40% chance to make it.
Okay.
And then the last one, I don't know what. Somebody can update me on
Oregon
what they
State.
Have. Yes, the Beavers.
Yeah, dude. Look at
no,
that.
Oh. Sorry. It is Penn State.
Oh, we are. No thanks.
Right? I mean, I don't know what they're bringing. Because I thought they lost McSorley. So I'm
well,
not up on my.
He wasn't very good last year anyway.
No, I'm not saying he was, but you're a new quarterback, that kind of thing. I'm not up on my Penn State facts of what they're going through this offseason. I did get a chuckle out of this, though, because it just tells you, oh, well, how about that? The top two teams. Clemson has an 83% chance to make it.
Okay.
Alabama has a 71% chance to make it.
Who in the ACC is beating Clemson?
That's a great
Nobody.
Question.
And I guess their non-conference schedule is paper
of
tissue.
Of course. They have A&M, I know, but I think they get them at home because they played them at A&M last year. So you go 83% Clemson, 71% Alabama, then 41% is your number three team in Michigan. If you're wondering, I did mention Oregon's in the top 10. They have a 14% chance to make it, according to the Football Power Index.
Is that controversial that they're higher than Washington, even with the talent coming back?
Yeah, I think you could argue that. I don't know if it's controversial that they're higher. I think it's controversial how much higher they are.
Mm.
Because Washington's chances to make it, according to the Football Power Index, is 4%.
Wow.
So Oregon's at 14, Washington 4.
Well, I think they're giving the Ducks that percentage if because if they beat Auburn in that opener,
sure.
I think that gives them a – I don't know who Washington's got in their non-conference. But
nobody.
I
think this is the year they miss people.
Yeah, so because Oregon will go to Washington this year to play mm-hmm. that game, but I think what they're looking at is if the Ducks beat Auburn in that opener, they will be propelled up the rankings and eventually the selection committee's rankings.
Okay, let's take this a different way because this the indexes can be dumb to me.
There's two other Pac-12 teams, by the way, that make it to the top 20.
Stanford?
Of the Football Power Index.
In Utah.
Stanford is not one of them.
Utah.
Utah is.
Is it USC?
It's UCLA.
UCLA.
So where's that coming from?
Good luck with that one. Where would you put the percentages of Bama Clemson? Like, you almost have to give them their own category in this, right?
Yeah, can we just allow them to, like, play their own separate season and then let everybody else play for the national
That's what
championship
I'm saying, yeah.
this year? Probably for the next 2 years.
Or can
years.
We put them in one semifinal and let
yes.
somebody else?
Like, what's the point of the season? We know, barring an injury, those two teams are getting into the playoff. Tua's not going to lose all
sure.
those games.
Yeah, and Trevor Lawrence, Clemson, all that, everything
stud.
To bring him back.
Yeah, yeah, like, just put them in the playoff now and just tell yourself there's only two spots available for the other three conferences.
For as much as I love college football, it is amazing just how dominant those two programs have become.
It's stupid.
And just the non-existent hope that one of them might go down.
Like, what if it is Georgia, Bama, Clemson?
And Michigan.
So good luck. Three conferences right. now have to fight out for the one
right,
spot.
Right.
It's yet again what we've talked about.
Right,
hopefully Georgia's number one. Do they avoid? Well, they probably don't avoid Alabama. How
See,
would
I'm
that
with you.
Work?
The only thing the only hope you have is that Clemson and Alabama somehow meet in a semifinal game like
in
they
a,
did 2 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, in a 2-3 game, yeah. and then somebody else is in the 1-4 matchup.
Because so, then at least you get away from that national championship for a year.
Why did UCLA get this respect and not Stanford?
I don't know, Bob. I don't know. I'm just reading their Football Power Index.
Because Costello's at least coming back. And
yeah.
I'd rather have him than Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Sure. I agree with you there. Yeah, they're writing on the Pac-12. It says it's well-rounded, but maybe to a fault. They write, the Pac-12's two-year playoff drought is in good shape to continue. Our projections give the conference just a 21% chance to put a team in the playoff in 2019. The conference's issue, it has plenty of good teams, but no great teams. They boast 8 teams between number 10 and 36 in the FBI's rankings. None better than Oregon, but then they mention Oregon's schedule.
UCLA's in there because, again, their non-conference is pretty good. They go to Oklahoma, so if they beat Oklahoma
sure.
in Norman, then it boosts them up.
No, they were in Norman last year.
Well, they're going there again this year.
I think that's wrong.
That's a brutal schedule.
I think Oklahoma goes to L.A.
Oh, yeah, they went and got their ass kicked.
They opened that
year.
Game up 7-0, and Oklahoma fans
oh,
are
it's
like,
in,
what?
It's in the Rose Bowl this year.
Okay, there you go.
So, yeah, you're at Cincinnati, San Diego State, and Oklahoma
right.
is your non-conference.
That's fine. Take that non-conference and ask yourself, would you rather play Oklahoma or would you rather play Central Florida? Because Stanford had Central Florida and then nobody else. So that doesn't make any sense to
me. No, it doesn't. But I thought I'd bring that up because it's a reason to talk about college football.
I think Utah, so. You know, early on in the Pac-12, because now you've got my interest here in Pac-12
Now you
want
to talk some Pac-12 football, don't you?
I do. I enjoy Pac-12 football. I think Utah is not going to get enough credit. Now, I think they're going to get the media pick of winning the South, right? But Utah is the scariest team in the Pac-12, maybe between the two divisions.
They're the heavy favorite in the South.
They're returning like everybody. Yeah. They had a great year last year. We know Whittingham is the consistent coach who goes and wins 9, 10, 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
They have a real shot with the talent returning, in my opinion, to win this conference. And I'm not so sure it's really going to be much of an upset. We don't know what's going on with Eason up there in Seattle. He's probably the guy, but it's not like you're reading a ton of amazing things about him, but it's Chris Peterson, so I'll give them the benefit. And Oregon, I mean, Oregon has, they have their things to prove to people too. So, mm-hmm. you know, those two teams are going to get the most respect. Stanford will probably be there as well. Utah, to me, I would probably pin Utah as the favorite in the Pac-12 this year.
There you go. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we'll get into the rest of the NBA. We haven't talked about yet Denver and Toronto tying their series last night. We got to get to Stat or Story coming up at 2:15, so don't miss that. We'll get back into, of course, Game 2 between Portland and OKC as the Blazers took a 2-0 series lead last night. The keys and how it plays out from here, we'll get more into that. And Sprague has a scary story. All of that's still to come. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.